This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. I'm in the east of Iceland once again today, and I've come all the way to the Wilderness Centre, which is about an hour's drive south of Eylstad, the main town in the centre of East Iceland. I'm with Ella, who's the manager here of the Wilderness Centre, and we really are out in the wilderness here. This is down quite a narrow, twisty road. You do feel quite remote here.
Yes, definitely. So we are the last occupied residency here in the valley. So if you were to follow the glacier river that we have flowing here behind us, you would go about 15 to 17 kilometers and you would be up in the mountains, and after that you just have Vatnajökull and the extensive highlands of Iceland.
So this is it for civilization in this direction?
Pretty much, yes. Us and the sheep here.
Okay, now we're having our conversation in the middle of summer, the end of June. Doesn't feel very summery today. It's misty and it's wet and it's quite cold. But you were telling me a few moments ago that you do, and you are getting lots of visitors here.
Yes, definitely. It's getting increasingly more busy every day. And today I was actually counting on not having that many people because it was quite crazy. A few hours ago we had a lot of wind and rain, but surprisingly we had about 20 Icelanders just walking on property and looking for the exhibition. So
that's... It was really windy earlier on today, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Incredibly windy. Yes. Okay, so we're going to take a wander around outside, and as we do, and as you show me some of the features here, just a word on the centre itself. What is the Wilderness Centre and what are you trying to do here?
So the Wilderness Centre is a sort of a centre of recreation. So we're walking past this old farmhouse here. Mm. There used to be a great Icelandic family living here.
Okay.
There were nine siblings living in this very house all year around. They were taking care of sheep. And they left behind a lot of stories and heritage, which the founders of the Wilderness Centre, they took the heritage and they built accommodation, restaurant, tours, and an exhibition with all the information and the stories and the heritage of the family.
It's a beautiful house, the farmhouse that this family would have lived in. Very well preserved. Does anyone live here in this centre, at this centre?
Well, actually, right over there we have the neighbour's house. He is offspring from the family that used to occupy this house right here. So he lives here with his family, and we do have some employees living in this little staff house down by the hill.
So the relative of the family that lived in this house is living in that modern house off to the left, keeping an eye on everything.
Yes, and they do own a part of the company as well, so they are monitoring their own heritage in that way.
So the story that you're trying to tell here then, is it about life as it would have been lived in this part of Iceland?
Yes, exactly. So there are a lot of stories of how the family used to survive. The siblings were very resourceful, they were very clever, they were very creative, and we have a lot of examples in the exhibition how they took things that were broken or somehow not usable and they would make something new out of them. We have a lot of examples how they had to be creative to be able to survive, how they were making food. We have old recipes where they are making the food preserved better.
Yes.
And we have these facilities that have all been built with these old antique furnitures or materials that are maybe not that commonly used.
And these are important stories. It's important that they are told and important that they are remembered.
Definitely. And to be honest, when I came here the first time, I was very impressed by that, because when you walk into an old house like that, it looks just like an empty establishment, but they have so many stories that they have brought to life, and they have put it on the audio guide in the exhibition, and they have documented these great stories and items and...
Okay, so tell me more about the buildings that we are walking past.
Yeah, so we have here the old farmhouse, which is the original house from the family. Behind it we have a newer building. This is the exhibition building. So we actually have an exhibition downstairs, and upstairs we have a traditional bastova, which is an Icelandic living and sleeping room. I will show that to you in a moment.
Yes.
Also up from the parking lot you can see there is our newest building, which has been built for accommodating more guests. On the outside it looks quite plain and normal, but on the inside everything has been built with antique furniture. Everything has been built in this old farmhouse style to bring out some authenticity.
Okay. So people can stay here?
Yes, definitely. Okay. We have a lot of people staying for the night over the summer. So this is our spa building. It's built entirely from Siberian driftwood.
It's a spa. Do you know what? At first glance, because I saw the male and female signs, I thought, well, that'll be the toilets. But no, this is the spa.
This is the spa. So it's built from Siberian driftwood.
Yes.
In the northern parts of Russia, where the wood gets to the water and it drifts to Iceland. It takes many years, but the Icelanders have been collecting it and building from it for centuries, and it's very useful, and the salty water has made it perfect for the spa usage. We have a Finnish sauna inside, and we have some pools out in the back, and then there's a little fire pit.
So there are outside pools as well, outdoors pools, which is a wonderful location to sit and contemplate life with the hills on either side in the middle of this valley. So that's what you see when you come to the exterior here. I think we're going to go in now to the exhibition itself. We'll have a look at the Bathstova, the traditional house.
This is not the original house itself. This is a sort of a replica of a turf house that used to be here. So there was a big turf house that had this kind of a Bathstova in it.
Yes.
And always, usually under the Bathstova floorboards, you would have a space for the cattle as well. So it was very common to keep the animals in.
Because that created warmth. That was underfloor heating, wasn't
exactly.
it, of its day. Will I close this door over?
You can leave it open.
I'll leave it open, okay. So this is where guests would first come. There's a... What is this machine here?
This is for laundry.
It's a mangle. I couldn't quite see what it was from that side. It's an old-fashioned mangle. Laundry used to be done in the very old days. Okay, let's head up the stairs. There are a couple of visitors here just about to take the tour, so we'll not get in their way. What is the photo that we just passed?
So these are some Danish and Icelandic surveyors who are and mappers and soldiers who have come to make some maps in the 1900s.
Okay, and they're marching up the rocks very determinedly. So this is now the replica of the Bathstova that we're in. This is larger than I thought it would be. There are eight beds in here?
It's eight beds. This accommodates 16 people in total. It is slightly larger what the original one would be. So we actually do have here some photos. The family was very lucky to have a relative who was one of the first Icelandic photographers, so one of the pioneers in photographing in Iceland. And he came around quite often to take some photos and to visit the family. So they're lucky to have a lot of this documented.
What kind of period are we talking about? How far back in time are we going here?
So this family came here the first time in 1880.
Okay.
And they left in the late 1900s. And that's when the house was more or less abandoned because the offspring moved to their house over by the hill.
Would this have been, I guess you might call it a middle class home or the home of a well-off family? Because this furniture here, for example, there's a harpsichord, I think that is, to the left.
So many items were owned by the family, not all of them, but as you mentioned it, yes. So they were quite wealthy, and you can see it. There's one thing in particular. When we go downstairs, we can find up to 14 sewing machines.
Wow!
So each sibling had their own sewing machine, which is quite luxurious.
And I know that in the past, sewing machines were a sign of wealth and also a generator of wealth, weren't they?
Yes, definitely. And all kinds of tools and...
I mean, this looks comfortable. You could imagine spending a night here and not hating it.
I have slept the night here. I think these are the most comfortable beds we have here at the hotel. So
it's a wonderful sight. And how long did it take to recreate all of this then?
It took quite a few years from them to build, but I'm not exactly sure.
But a long time.
Yes, a long time
for sure. So this is what guests can see when they come here. I think, as I say, there are some visitors who are going to be coming up the stairs and experiencing this for themselves. Let's head downstairs and move on to the next part of what you can see when you come here to the Wilderness Centre.
Go for the walking tour. You would grab some headphones. We would give you one of these audio guides with a compass. So these are handmade by the founders themselves. So they made this little system to guide you through the exhibition.
There really is. There's a brass compass there, a real compass. Yes. That's much nicer than the plastic MP3 player you normally get.
Yes, definitely. So this is, I believe the wooden box is made in the Creative Center in the East Fjords in Stuttgart. So they make this by hand.
So there's real attention to detail here then, isn't there? Let's move in then.
Yes, as you can see, we have a little screen with a story of the settlement. So in the headphones, you would now hear how the Vikings came to Iceland and a few steps of what happened ever since. And here we have a story of some travelers. The man was traveling home with a horse in the snow, and the horse stopped moving all of a sudden, and it wouldn't budge. And he kept trying to urge the horse to go. And then he realized that they were on top of the house, so the snow had covered the entire house. So that's why the horse wouldn't move, because it knew that they were home.
There's a real fascination, isn't there, from so many different countries, people in so many different countries, about the Vikings and also about Iceland. Do you get visitors from all over the world?
Yes, it's a very large variety of people. It's very hard to say which one's the most. I believe that we do get a lot of Europeans, but it's just all over. It's very nice to see that.
And what do they say when they see this?
Usually people are very happy with the exhibition. It's not your regular exhibition where you're reading a text and looking at a photo. It's something much more alive.
It does feel that way. And again, just having a quick look at what we've seen so far, the story of settlement, it comes to life. It's brought to life with various items that would have been used at the time. Literature, of course, a very important part of Iceland, and that's reflected here, isn't it? With the books on the wall.
Yes, definitely. And here we have the creator has taken stories that revolve around the wilderness. So these are stories from Laxness and from Gunnar Gunnarsson, where they're describing this harsh life that had to do with the highlands and the weather and the wilderness.
And indeed, Gunnar Gunnarsson's house that he built is very close to here.
Yes, yes.
We're walking now into a snow cave, an ice cave. This is what it feels like, looks like.
Here we actually have Fjallabensi and his ship from the Good Shepherd. So there's a story of...
From that Gunnar Gunnarsson novel, yes.
Good Shepherd. And we're moving on to learn some stories of the outlaws in Iceland. So everybody probably knows this outlaw couple who were terrorizing the farms with the sheep theft and unfortunately had to leave a child behind, the story says.
So let's move through from this part.
We have a guest behind us.
So we're being followed. So here we have a reindeer. We have a man wrestling a reindeer.
Yes, this is a man who got stuck on the back of a reindeer.
Oh, he's stuck?
Yes, he was trying to ride the reindeer. But the reindeer put his head back, so the horns got on top of the man's thighs, and he couldn't move. And then the reindeer started sprinting, and the reindeer ended up sprinting into the river with the man with him.
What happened to him?
He ended up fine, but he...
He was okay, right.
But I believe he didn't ride any reindeer after that.
No, probably best not to. They're really good swimmers, reindeer.
Yes, apparently.
Even with the man on top. Tried to wrestle them to the ground. There's a horse here too.
Yes, so this is a horse that belongs to a mailman. So the Icelandic mailman, or the postman, was a very important visitor at the time. You can't believe that the mailman had to really know their way around. Mm. And they would have to travel to every house in the country that was getting mail. So the mailman was a very respected guest, and people often wanted to travel with them because they really knew how to get from one place to another.
I don't know if you saw on social media a few years ago, a tourist had come to Iceland and wanted to send a postcard back to the hosts with whom they'd stayed, but they didn't have the address for some reason, and so they just drew a little map from memory onto the front of the postcard as the address and said, it's the house next to the corner, next to the field or whatever. And the local postman knew exactly what they meant. You had that knowledge.
We actually have similar experiences here. So we've had some employees who get mail from abroad, and the people are writing maybe Wilderness House, and they send it to the town center, which is 1 hour away.
Yes.
And the letters find their way here.
Eventually.
Yes, eventually.
There's an old map as well of Iceland. How far back does this go? You can usually tell if you can't see things like the tunnel at Kvalfia, that you know it's more before the mid-90s. I think this one is before the mid-90s.
Yes, I think so.
So here at the Wilderness Centre, we've learned that guests can stay, and we've learned that the story that's being told is of life here in Iceland as it was lived a long time ago in many different ways. The room we're moving into now feels a bit more modern. What's happening in here?
Yes, so we have just stepped into the edge of civilization. So we have come out of the wilderness and we have come to the families, the family side of the exhibition. And here we can actually meet two of the siblings. So here we have, on the sewing machine, we have Snorri Gunnarsson. He was the eldest brother. He was a very well-known clock fixer. So he was fixing clocks. He was fixing sewing machines. He was actually sewing the national costumes for the Icelandic ladies. So he was very well known with his sewing skills. He was also a talented poet, and he loved to rhyme. He loved to sing and rhyme. And actually, if we move on to the telephone over here, you can lift up the telephone and you can hear him.
Right. Let's have a listen. You just hear that ghostly, faint voice of the song that was being sung here. And his sibling is also represented here. She is
knitting.
And you can tell that things are becoming a bit more modern because we've got a coffee table. We've got coffee table books and we've got magazines, indeed. Vikan magazine here, which is from 1968.
And we have a selection of fashion magazines as well. So the sisters were very well known of their sense of fashion. They were great at sewing, as you can see here, some dresses and jackets. And they were known to come to every social event with very fine clothes. They were always following the latest fashion trends, and they were very, very keen on beautiful clothes. We have examples also here behind you on the rack.
So the items on this rack are clothes that were, well, I've never been fashionable, so I'll take your word for it, but these are clothes that would have been fashionable at the time.
Yes.
The coats and the jackets and the other items as well. And you mentioned the sewing machines, which are behind the gentleman here who's sewing away. There's a snowmobile here.
Yes.
The Snow Trick snowmobile, which would have been a useful way to travel around Iceland, certainly before the road network became advanced.
Definitely. And this is a snowmobile from the 1965, and it was used by Snorri. And there's a funny thing here, because he was not very happy with the storage space in the snowmobile.
There isn't much.
Yes. So he built one himself. So
under the seat, there's the boot, there's the trunk.
Yes.
With a hammer and some oil and various bits and pieces as well. I've only driven a snowmobile a couple of times, and they're not very comfortable. This one looks very uncomfortable, doesn't it?
I believe this would be a little bit of a bumpy ride.
I think so, yes. Better to drive something that's got suspension, I think, these days. But an amazing piece of machinery. So we're leaving the... We're leaving the 60s, really, or part of what we've seen is up as far up to date as the 1960s. So that takes us all the way through from settlement right up to almost the modern age here. And of course, the other enormous attraction of where we are is the extraordinary beauty of the nature. It's that sense of being in the wilderness, that sense of being the last, as you said, civilization in that particular direction. And when guests come here, they must be as impressed by that as they are by the exhibition.
Definitely, and we also arranged tours. So the concept of the center was also to introduce the people to the wilderness, not only to the history of it, but as well take them out there and show them the wilderness itself. So we have some hiking tours going into the valley, going into the mountains. We have skiing, horse riding. We even have a stargazing station here.
Okay.
Which is built on an old sheep house, and it's this rooftop, you can take the roof off of the slide the roof off of the sheep house, and we have a telescope inside. And all kinds of exploring that we can do here together with our guests.
And are you open in the winter? Because it sounds like that would be the most perfect place to watch the Northern Lights.
Yes, we are open throughout the winter, and we have many winter tours as well. So we're hoping to... of course, it's a bit of a difficult location sometimes for the guests to find us.
It is, as we said, about an hour away from the centre of Eylstadir, which is the centre of East Iceland and where a lot of people might be basing themselves. Heartily recommend coming here to the Wilderness Centre. We'll put a link to the centre on the page accompanying this show from Roof English Radio. But if somebody just wants to visit for a day visit, if they're not staying, when are you open?
So our exhibition is open from 15th of May until 15th of October, every day from 11 until 6 o'clock. And after that, it's really good to book it in advance, so we're prepared for you. But accommodation is bookable all year round, all the time on the webpage. And all of our tours are also bookable. The availability is clearly shown on each tour on the webpage.
Fantastic, Ella. Thank you very much for showing me around today.
Thank you for coming.
Much appreciated. It's Roof English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. English@ruv.is.
There's more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.